Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 399 on the line. Yeah, 399. It means that next week will be number 400. Yikes. Hey, I appreciate you folks sticking with me all this time. I'm just really grateful for the notes that you send. And hey, you folks have been putting out some really gorgeous spring images. That goes for flowers and for birds and for mammals and even those macro creepy crawly things. I can't thank you enough for sharing your passion and your photos with not only myself, but everyone. And it really makes a difference. So thank you ever so much. Later today, Moose's Shooter Report number 4 will get posted. They're on my YouTube channel, the first three, which would be Cape Hatteras and Bolivar Flats and Bitterroot Valley. And the next one coming up will be on Kodiak brown bears up in Kodiak, Alaska. So I hope you are checking those out, telling your friends. As long as I see people are still wanting to hear from me on that kind of things, so I'll keep putting them out. They're short, they're sweet, and hopefully they help move your photography forward. Speaking of which, you know, I do offer a number of photographic adventures throughout North America and Central America. We call them adventures because they are more of, we teach and we share information, but we actually also, we go on an adventure. Every one of them is that idea behind it. We don't know sometimes what's going to be around the corner. And I love to go do that with you. So you can check that out on my website, moosepeterson.com. Come and see the adventures. There's a new one coming up this week. Might want to check it out. Want to thank my dear friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com, the home of the Moose discount. These guys, they rock. And if you weren't aware, right now, Nikon's got some massive, big rebates going on. And here's the beauty of these things. Because you go to Bedford's and you say, hey, Moose sent me. On top of those Nikon rebates, you're going to see another discounted price when you check out. I mean, it's like, wow, it is super, super cool. Besides that, they have such great inventory, great pricing on everything photographic, great service and knowledge that why you'd go anywhere else is beyond me. So Bedford's, thank you so much for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. Getting into this week's episode on the line, I hope that you are wondering what the heck Moose has up his sleeve this time. Well, it's probably not what you think. So bear with me. There is a purpose to the whole presentation. So just been home at this point, 72 hours from 10 days on the road up to Kodiak, Alaska, which was absolutely just unbelievable, amazing, fantastic. So I'm home. And a dear friend of ours had his 80th birthday. So we got in the car and we drove over to Bozeman for that celebration. So, Tim, congratulations on making number 80. So that was on Saturday. So since we're in Bozeman, and that's where our son Jake lives, I said, hey, Jake, you want to go fishing? Doesn't take much to get Jake to go fly fishing. So after a killer breakfast, we went off to one of his favorite spots, one that he's taken to me before, and I'd done well there. Now, just a little background. So fly fishing. I've been fly fishing since I was, 11, 12. And there was a time where you couldn't get me off the water. I used to actually tie flies commercially, and I flew and flew and flew all I could, especially the Eastern Sierras, which is where I have imagined the seed got planted for Jake. And then life happened. When Jake moved out and went to college, my built-in fishing buddy was gone. And not that you have to have a buddy, but it's a lot more fun when there's more than just one out there, either in the float tube or getting wet in the creek. And so I stopped. It's just that simple. I stopped tying. You've probably have done this, and it got boxed up, and then life kept going. Then we moved to Montana, and Jake's like, "Hey, Dad, let's go fishing." Okay, let's go fishing. So we went fishing 2 days ago. No, yesterday. It was yesterday. And boy, Jake has gone flying past my abilities that I might have ever had at my peak of, you know, fishing a lot and out there doing it. I put the rod down many times just to watch his art as he puts that fly out there and then brings the fish in. It's just way cool to watch. But hey, you know, I'm supposed to catch fish as well. So we go to this location, and it's kind of got people look at these banks and they say, oh, those are kind of steep. And they're big boulders. And I mean, you know, boulders like, oh, people would put in their yard for yard decorations, big boulders. And they're there to keep the bank from washing out from the periodical floods. So Jake is getting me down to, there's a couple of really good holes, and Jake is very gracious, and he always basically points me to the right hole, trying to get me back up into up to speed, which is a bit of a challenge. And so we walk down, and we start to walk down the bank, and boy, within a couple steps, I'm down. You know, I have taken a fall. Now, luckily, I didn't break any bones. I didn't break any skin. I didn't break even the fly rod. But I know I really scared the bejiggers out of Jake. So, picking myself up, go back down, start fishing, nothing. An hour goes by, 90 minutes go by, neither one of us had even a bite. And we're fishing wet flies on a float tip, double dropper, still nothing. So across the river is a spot that had always done well for me before. So we got up past the bank, and there's Jake, nervous, Dad, having a walk on these rocks. And hey, my left knee ain't doing so well anymore. I have not a lot of faith in it and a bit of pain. So Jake was, you know, after seeing me take that big tumble, crash, let's just get to it. He said, "Okay, well, let's go across." So we get up the bank, and I got up, no problem. We walk back up the road, and there's this little cable footbridge. We take that across, and we go through the brush, and half an hour later, we're across the river at this spot where done well before. So I change up my flies a little bit, put a Copper John on top and a bead-headed pheasant tail on the bottom. Oh, second cast, third cast, I'm going to say, bam, had a fish. Just, I wasn't ready for it, point blank. So I felt them. I was off in space, lost it. So it's like, okay, the fish are here. I saw where that guy was. So fine. One cast, two casts, next cast, bam, hits it. And it's a serious fish. And I'm like, I have that hook set. And I fish barbless hooks because we do catch release. And I'm bringing the slack in, keeping my tip up, doing all those things I know I'm supposed to do. I see it briefly break the water. I take one, maybe one and a half steps back, and bam, I go over. I go over on my right side, my back. I got water going down my chest waders, but I've got that rod up, and I'm keeping that tip taut, and I can still feel that fish there. And I can see out of the corner of my eye, Jake going, oh my gosh, Dad's going to die, you know? And he's rushing up to where I'm at, and I'm slowly trying to get myself back up. And in that process, I let the tip dip a tad, and boom, I lost the fish. I get myself back up, and Barris and Jake comes over and goes, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And he says, you know, you just lost a big fish. I said, I don't want to know that. Don't want to know that. He goes, no, that was a really nice fish, Dad. And I'm like, you know, and I just was exasperated with myself. And he says, you just got to remember, you're out of practice. So what's this got to do with photography? Does any of this scenario sound like perhaps your photography adventures when you go out shooting? Does it ring a bell? Because, after I lost that really nice fish, and Jake says, you know, you're just out of practice. I'm like, God, yeah, I am. And then I could relate it to a number of folks that I go out shooting with who, like myself, you know, have life get in the way of life, and you don't pick up that gear, you don't remember every step. And, you know, when that moment happens and you think you've struck and you set that hook, and then you take that step and poof, down you go. I mean, it's not just photography where we have these kind of episodes in our adventures. You know, it's anything that we put our passion into. Just because we show up and we have the passion doesn't mean that we're going to come back with the trophy. And for Jake and myself, and for his cohorts, and he's got some amazing friends he goes fishing with, the trophy, because we do catch and release, is the photograph. Kind of ironic, huh, right? We're doing this whole thing just to come back with the photograph. And that's kind of the funny part. I had four fish on, landed two. And even the way to hold a fish for a photograph to make it look bigger than it really was, because the one in the photograph you see here on the blog post page was just over 14 inches. But I'm so out of practice, I don't remember how to hold a fish for the photograph. I mean, I don't remember how to hold a fish so I can release it and does it, you know, go back safely. But that's how out of practice I am. And I've got to remind myself when I'm working with photographers that their photography, they're in the same boat. They haven't picked it up for a while. They remember this part and that part, but perhaps this other part, maybe the most crucial part, you know, they don't practice it every day. Where because of what I do and my passion for photography, I practice it every day. I mean, I'm here at my desk recording this, and right next to me is the Z8 with a Pleno 135-1.8 attached that's the lens I was practicing my hand holding today. And poor Maggie, you know, she's like, oh gosh, give me a break. But you know, with a 135-1.8, it's quote unquote a portrait lens. So I practice my hand holding with Maggie as my subject. Most folks don't do that with their photography. And the point is, we can't expect, nor should we beat ourselves up, when we've got that big fish on the line and we lose it. We stumble. We get all wet. With our photographs, there's times where you have the most amazing something in that viewfinder. And either you have changed your aperture and you don't remember, you're shooting black and white, and you want color, or vice versa, or the wrong lens, or I mean, the number of examples you can think of them for your own experiences are huge. But we can't beat ourselves up. We have to understand that if we want to get past that point, if I want to get better and get back to kind of where I was as a fly fisherman, I've got to put more time in on the water. It's that simple. And yet it's not, right? Because the time is the hard part. Be whatever passion we want to put ourselves into, that time, that's the thing that's just, it's murder, right? It's murder. You've got to get ready. You've got to get there. You've got to do it. And then you got to come back. And so take that pressure off yourself and off your photography. And remember that all of us, myself, my peers, anybody you want to think about, all those photographs you see on the different social feeds, that only happens when we have the good fortune to put the time in to make things happen mentally and physically. So when we go click, it all comes together. You know, that's just part of, you know, being on the line. You folks have a marvelous week. I so thank you for sharing your bird photographs, your spring bird photographs, nesting birds. I haven't got a nest yet that I've gotten on. So I'm envious and I'm really thrilled to see yours. So keep it going. And remember to make every click your photograph.